There we go. It's working. How about I commit our time to God in prayer right now? Father God, thank you so much for your people faithfully gathering. And thank you for your word that speaks light and truth into our hearts and minds. And so my prayer, particularly this morning, is that you'd rekindle the wonder of what Christmas means, and to help us to do that well through Mary's eyes as we look at her song. And I commit that process to you in your name and for your glory. Amen. Well, I wonder if you've ever heard of the game Whamageddon, where the goal is to avoid hearing the song Last Christmas from December 1 to December 24. Good luck in your exploration of that game. It's very difficult to get through the whole period. On December 6, one of my friends put up on Facebook, Whamhalla, which is where you go after you've heard the Wham hit. First time in 10 years, thanks Holy Basil Restaurant. They started with Mariah and it became inevitable. They didn't last long in the game. I think in my own household, one of my daughters, who will remain anonymous, might have belted it out in our house with great gusto and already taken me down with that rendition. At this time of year, the shops are filled with Christmas music. It's hard to go anywhere without hearing Wham, or perhaps Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas song. And by the way, here's a station that might be either heaven or hell to you. 10 hours, not just of Mariah Carey, but of Mariah Carey singing All I Want for Christmas Is You. I think it's just a meme, just a fun thing, but here's what Spotify says are the top Christmas songs. Would you have gone with those choices? Where would your mind go when you think of Christmas songs? What would be the top Christmas song for you? What would capture the essence of Christmas the most in a song? In Luke's gospel, Mary says something which people have called Mary's song. And they say it's a song because of the poetic, lyrical nature of these verses. So that's why they call it a song. I'm going to call it the first Christmas song. I don't think there are any other songs before this in the Christmas narrative. And so our journey this morning is to take what this Christmas song brings to us as we head into Christmas in 2025. Before we even get into the song, the first part of our passage expands on the context for Mary saying what she says. Mary visits her relative Elizabeth, who you'll remember is pregnant with John the Baptist. There's already this backstory right here. Elizabeth's husband is Zechariah. He's a priest that was visited by the angel Gabriel, announcing the coming of John the Baptist to Zechariah and Elizabeth. And Mary herself was visited by Gabriel to announce Jesus coming to her. So they've got a whole lot to share together. And as the younger unmarried woman, Mary is the one to show honor to her older married relative, Elizabeth. We're told she greets Elizabeth when she arrives in the home, but when Elizabeth feels her baby leap in her womb, she is herself filled with the Holy Spirit and all social protocols get upended. The script gets flipped, and instead of Elizabeth receiving the honor, she lavishes great honor on Mary. She calls her the one blessed among women. Here's what she says from verse 42 to 45. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. Mary is, she's blessed. But nothing in what Elizabeth says indicates why she should be so blessed. There's no particular reason. She just is. And Elizabeth, for her part, feels honored to have been visited by the mother of her Lord. That's how she describes Mary. Those are her words. She's also astonished that she should be so blessed. Why am I so favored? The only thing that she praises Mary for doing is believing that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. So how does Mary's song arise? Well, it seems to arise out of the astonishment of two women who have been remarkably blessed. They just can't get their heads around the extraordinary goodness of God who showers ordinary women with incomprehensible favor. So let's look at Mary's song, the thing she says from verse 46 onwards. Mary's enraptured by God, who she sees as her rescuing savior. My soul glorifies, magnifies in some translations, the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. The focus is God. He's the one that Mary directs all her praise towards. And the reason is given in verse 48. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. The only thing that Mary brings to her situation is humility. She stands in need of a Savior and a Lord, which to my thinking means she's not perfect, because she needs a Savior, she needs a Lord. That's the real basis for her humility. It comes from her need. But because of God's undeserved favor and his goodness, Mary can make some very confident assertions. In verse 48, she says, From now on, all generations will call me blessed. That's a remarkable thing, that humility can be accompanied by confident assertion and satisfaction in knowing God's good favor. But that's the position of God's people, whose need is great and whose Savior lavishes great goodness and mercy and grace on them. And it's a remarkable understanding that she has of the significance of Jesus. She sees that generations will look back to this moment with great appreciation and wonder for what God has done through Jesus and how he's used ordinary people to achieve his purposes. It's really quite something to think about what Mary knows about Jesus and the circumstances she's caught up in. Joseph was told by the angel to call Mary's child Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. That's from Matthew's gospel. So there are big things that have been put on the table early for them to understand about who Jesus is. He will save his people from their sins. And there seems to be that kind of understanding present in the things that are in Mary's song. Mary's song reflects on what God does and not on who she is or what she's done. Look at how many times God is referred to here. For the mighty one has done great things for me. His mercy extends towards those who fear him. Then glance down through the verses and see how many times he has appears. He being God. He has performed mighty deeds with his arms. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has helped his servant Israel. He. You see how the active agent in all that Mary celebrates is God, and how she stands with open arms appreciating and seeing God's goodness. And what God does in these things is he turns things on their head. There are these great reversals that happen. A humble servant, Mary, has great things done for her, whilst the proud are scattered in verse 51. Rulers are brought down from their thrones, whilst the humble are lifted up. The hungry are filled with good things, while the rich go away empty. It's a turning of things upside down. God is able to transform earthly realities according to his great power and to turn circumstances away from the proud and toward the humble. And notice also this, that the tense in which God is said to do all these things, it's actually in the past tense. He has done. Look at that once more. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has helped his servant Israel. He has. All past tense. Which is strange, because how can Mary speak of God having done things in the past tense in these verses when Jesus hasn't been born, and God's salvation at the cross and in Jesus' resurrection hasn't yet been revealed and realized? Here's what I take from that. Mary has supreme confidence in what God has already announced. She has confidence to know that what he has begun doing, he will continue until its completion. He will indeed save his people from their sins, just as he promised. And she has full confidence in that fact. And that leads into the next observation. Mary has trust in God that what he promises he will do will be fulfilled. God remembers his promises of old. He remembers, and he is true to those promises. Verses 54 and 55. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abram and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. God remembers his promises. He is true to his promises, the promises of all, the ones to Abraham and down through the generations, promises to bless and to provide land and offspring, and all those promises come down through the generations and find their fulfillment in Jesus. And Mary seems to bask in the warm glow of what God will do, but she does it in perfect confidence that it will reach completion. Doesn't mean that life's going to be rosy. It's not rosy for Mary ahead. Doesn't mean that it's not without trouble. But it's the warm glow of the beginnings. This is Luke's gospel beginnings. It's chapter 1 of how he started his gospel. His account of the rescuer of God's people. It's a bit different to other Christmas songs you might listen to. You better watch out. You better not cry. You know where this is going. Better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. Sing that in a minor key and then watch it turn into a horror story as you do that. You don't have to watch out. You don't have to be careful of not crying or not pouting or of doing anything in particular. God is the one who has done all things necessary for your good through Jesus. That's what Mary puts before us. And while someone might have thrown your heart away last Christmas, Jesus will never let his people down. Perhaps the someone special you should give your heart to is Jesus, along with all parts of you. He remembers his promises of old, and he stays true to them through eternity. You need only hold on to his promises through faith. To echo Elizabeth's words, blessed is the one who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to them. Blessed is the one who trusts God that he will fulfill all that he's promised. When all the presents are opened this Christmas, when the food's consumed, and please enjoy it, it's great. I love all the things that Christmas bring our way. Perhaps it's worthwhile thinking about all that we truly want this Christmas, all I want for Christmas, to bring in another song, and to think about what will last and what will be most satisfying and what will provide the most sure contentment into the future. And perhaps when our hearts see that all that we want for Christmas and bring it before God, we see that it lands on Jesus as the ultimate one we should seek. Wouldn't it be great to tap Mary's mind this Christmas as we approach Christmas? Wouldn't it be good to tap into that as we approach and to have that wonder before us. Now, I wondered, what would Mary's song sound like to music? And there are a few versions out there that I thought about playing, but then I thought, we stream our service, copyright issues, all that sort of thing. That's a real problem. So Annabelle and I sat down yesterday afternoon, and we went into the AI engine Suno, and we threw in Mary's song into Suno, and we told it we want a female voice, we want it to sound pretty, elegant, and joyful. And Suno gave us a version that I think I can stream because it's not commercial. We're not making money off our stream. So with a little bit of help from AI this morning, we're going to listen to that song, and then I'm going to pray straight after. And maybe if you have Luke 1 in front of you, you can follow along the song. You can follow along Mary's words. Let's pray. Father God, as we approach Christmas, my prayer is not that we take away from all those wonderful things that we do, all the good things of our celebrations, but to enjoy them even more because of the great wonder of what you have done for us through Jesus. Thank you that Jesus entered into our lowly state out of great love for our great need. I pray that your people would worship you in fullness of wonder this Christmas. I pray it for your glory. Amen.